Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no education value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's the White Riot Show. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So, turn up the volume, clean the shit out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
That's right. It's the White Riot Show coming to you from a rainy evening here in our Brooklyn studios. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And we can't wait to get to the events of the week, Judo Larry M. People, of course, still talking about our massive show from last week.
The show was such a hit. The response we got was just incredible.
Fantastic, right?
It is just fantastic. We will be trying to up the game even this week.
Absolutely.
We're trying to plan out the big trip to the Creation Museum.
The Creation Museum. And Judo Larry M., I want you to join me, if possible. Can you join me in a vow, in a promise?
Allah Akbar.
No, not that one. Join me in a promise that tonight's show we will try to avoid cursing.
Well, that's more of an issue for you than
yes,
for me if you listen to the show.
Let's see how long we can keep our promise. Let's see if we could do this old school style like we used to do when we did our sports program. Let's try to keep this according to FCC regulations.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, fuck it.
Because No, because Big Fat John, you know, this show may become a demo for certain and several traditional radio outlets that are requesting a demo from the White Riot Show.
That's right. You cannot be using language unbecoming.
Yeah, that's correct. And it means it saves me a lot of time when I have to cut this stuff up.
Yes. That's right. John and Phil working hard, cutting up the big WR riot.
That's right. Anyway. White Riot Show coming at you again live this week. So listen, let's do our favorite part of the show before we go any further.
Pimp time. Pimp.
That's right. It's pimping time. So let's talk about that. You can find us each and every week, the full show on iTunes. Go to iTunes, search for White Riot Show, download the program, subscribe. It's totally free. Also leave a 5-star rating for Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. Help us out here. At this point, we're beyond suggestion. We're just flat out asking you. Support us on iTunes, folks.
That's right. We're just absolutely, while we're doing the pimping section, we're just whoring ourselves.
That's right. We're begging. But you could also find us on Stitcher, Player.fm. You can find us on Filmon.com very soon, the international platform for entertainment.
Yeah.
You could also find us on WhiteRiotShow.com. And don't forget, you can find us on YouTube.com/White Riot Show for Judo Larry M's most favorite of things.
The 2-minute hits, the White Riot clips.
That's right. The riotous clips on YouTube. You can listen to them just when you want your little White Riot Show boost during the day, I guess. A little bolstering of your
you don't have to take 5-hour energy. You can just go on YouTube and
that's
pop
right.
that up and
that's
give
right.
yourself a quick laugh.
And I also like it because, of course, the riotous clips are the things that most people tend to their first exposure to the White Riot Show via Twitter or Facebook or whatever are the White Riot clips.
Listening
and,
to the little snippets.
Here, I could even give you a quote from a new Twitter follower. A new Twitter follower, Judo Larry M. Let me just pull this out. I don't want to misquote the poor slob. he goes, some guy named Rick Ballin. Rick Ballin. He says, with respect to one of our riotous clips from last week, quote, listen to this moronic rubbish.
Rick Ballin?
Yes. Yeah, so now we have a new fan who thinks we are moronic rubbish.
Is Ballin code for Anderson?
Yeah, I think it's code for something else. But anyway, yeah, so definitely, folks, and like we said, go to Facebook.com/White Riot Show. Also go to Twitter.com/White Riot Show. You could catch the White Riot Show trolling its favorite targets. Always fun to see how people react to us on Twitter, the following on Twitter growing every day. Judo Larry M., let's move on to some topics of the day.
All right.
The big thing, of course, immigration reform right now. The country is clamoring for it. We've got 11 million illegal aliens. I don't care what the Democrats think I should call them.
You're not supposed to say that.
Undocumented immigrants, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, F that.
See, that
I'm trying. F that. I didn't say it. That's okay. FCC is okay. But the point here is that there's 11 million illegal aliens in the United States. It's an issue we have to deal with. And the Senate, the U.S. Senate, is taking up legislation as we speak. And, of course, the driving force in the legislation is this Gang of Eight. The Gang of Eight.
The Gang of Eight moderates?
Supposedly four Democrats, four Republicans.
Right.
Some names on that might be Chuck Schumer.
Right.
John McCain.
John McCain. Yeah.
And the other wild card here is Marco Rubio.
Right.
Now, of course, part of the problem here is that Marco Rubio supposedly was a conservative, supposedly was somebody on the right of the mainstream Republican Party. But Judah Lariam, he's failing that part of the movement right now.
Yeah, right now they're not very happy with him, as they think his views on this are like right out of the liberal Democrat.
And they're also shifting. They're also shifting a lot, you know, so... Rubio always had insisted that Republicans need to embrace the Hispanic community, which comprises a large percentage or a significant percentage of the 11 million illegal aliens. But also,
it's actually more like 12.
More than, oh yeah, 12, yeah, more than 12 million. Okay. But Rubio, I'm starting to wonder about him. So now he went on Univision, which is of course the Spanish language network, and he said on Univision that any legislation would involve legalization
pathway,
first.
Right.
Legalization, then enforcement, which is a no-no with Republicans and no-no for conservatives. And I think for most sensible people, it's a no-no.
Yeah.
But then he went on English-speaking TV, I think Hannity, as a matter of fact, and said, no, I never said that when Wynn started to get around.
Yeah.
He said, basically, I support
enforcement
first, then legalization.
Yeah.
So, Judah Lariam, let me ask you this. So, the Gang of Eight now is supposedly leading on this. Republicans are starting to form a little bit of resistance to this. Mm-hmm. I know today they had a vote on a measure that was put up by a Republican senator. I can't recall his name right now. That said, okay, first let's build the fence. Let's get some strict guidelines in and actually enforce it. Chuck Schumer and the rest of the Democrats said no.
Right.
Wouldn't even bring it to a vote, I don't think. Or, I'm sorry, it did hit as a vote and it went along partisan lines. The issue here, of course, is that, well, let me take a step back here, Judah Lariam. So let me ask you this. In your opinion, before we go any further, what should we do? Should we legalize first or enforce first?
No, I think you have to enforce first. I mean,
right.
I think you got to seal up the border.
Right.
You have to. I mean, look, I think we talked about this way back. When people talk about what's going on at the U.S.-Mexican border, remember this. It's not just people coming into the country illegally and being here illegally and being undocumented or whatever you want to call them. There's 90% of the drugs that come into this country come from the U.S.-Mexican border.
Right.
Okay, 90. Okay. There's the guns and munitions and weapons. It's huge amount of money. And then, of course, you had the whole thing, the Fast and Furious, whatever, with the government and Holder, and they screwed up.
Right.
You've got human trafficking. You have sex trafficking. All right. No, it's actually not.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, it's like running. I mean, I saw some documentary on it. The way they treat the women is just awful. So you've got kidnappings and now coming over to this side of the border. In Arizona, they've been, there was that farmer who got killed by...
Yeah, they're struggling with it.
But my point
Arizona.
Is this. You have to do something about the border. Forget even just... Oh, and all the tunnels under the U.S.-Mexican border.
Right.
So think of all these issues. Drugs, human trafficking, sex trafficking, drugs, guns, violence, kidnapping. It's insane.
Right.
It's insane. And what I don't understand is if I told you, well, we had some drones, killed terrorists today over in Pakistan, nobody bats an eye. So what?
Right.
You know, bombing, killing, whatever. The moment you say we should do something about this on the border, which actually hits home and in a much more dangerous way, people start to, you're doing this for hateful reasons. You're racially.
Right.
Look, there's so many things going on at the border. You have to do something. You got to do something at the border. You have to do something about the tunnels. I'm not going to go through the list again. So first, there has to be enforcement. We've got to seal it up. The Canadian border, if anyone cares, if you're thinking
about it. Let's seal that up, too.
You could do something, but you know what? That's hardly even an issue.
Right, right.
I think 2 years ago, I remember reading an article that only 11,000 people came into this country illegally from the Canadian border.
That's okay, because South Dakota borders the Canadian border.
But they,
did you hear that?
Yes.
Senator Landrieu claimed... Louisiana.
Right, yeah.
She claimed that that the Republican senator from South Dakota ought to keep his mouth shut because he doesn't have to worry about the Mexican border like Senator McCain does. All he has to do is worry about the Canadian border.
And most of that 11,000 were in the NHL. So, yeah. But the point is, there are so many things going on at the border. I think you have to do enforcement. You've got to seal it up. And stem the tide of all the things I just talked
right,
about.
Right, right, right.
But people who are here, look, right. You're not going to deport them.
Right.
It would be nice if they had come into the country legally, but they didn't.
Right.
And you're not going to, are we really going to deport 12 million people? So forget it. So what you do is you seal things up as best you can, try to get control of it, get on top of all those issues, and then whether people like it or not, the people are here, you swear them in.
Well,
or you have some kind of pathway to citizenship.
Right. But see, I agree with you, maybe not for the exact same reasons, but, or I should say for additional reasons. So I agree with everything you said, but the reason enforcement has to come first is because you don't want to reward criminal behavior. You don't want to reward illegal behavior, and that's what you'd be doing in this case. Whether you call them undocumented immigrants, illegal immigrants, whatever the hell you call them, the point becomes these people were here against the law.
Right.
So by giving them amnesty, the first thing you do is those 11 million, I guarantee you, are going to become 30 or 40 million. Because as soon as they become legal and the borders are unsecure, you're going to get the rest of their families coming over.
Right.
Right? So that's the first thing. So the second thing is, why reward this behavior?
Right.
Even with border enforcement, you're right. Still going to have people sneaking in. And what's the precedent you set for them? Well, as long as you make it to this country, it's okay. Eventually, right. First of all, there's states that want to give driver's licenses and health care benefits and Medicare benefits and Social Security benefits to illegal aliens. Right? So we have that problem to begin with. And then what's the problem? We've already shown we're not deporting anyone.
Right.
We're not deporting anyone. Like, to your point, I would love to see those 11 million people deported.
Right, but you can't.
But you can't. It's impractical. And then on top of that, we also have absolutely zero understanding of who these immigrants are. What are their skills? What are they contributing to society? Are they all political refugees? I doubt it. Are they all persecuted in their homelands? I doubt it.
No, almost all of them are here just for economic reasons.
Right. So let's face it. I mean, people who say, Republicans are evil because they don't recognize that immigration was the lifeblood of this nation. You're absolutely right. It was the lifeblood of this nation. But guess what? A, it was an emptier country back then. Let's be honest.
Right. In 1910, we only had 70 million people.
Yeah, and we haven't the country was empty. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
The second thing is, once we did put an immigration policy in place, you had to prove that you could come here. You had to prove that you had a skill. You had to prove that you weren't a criminal. You had to do things like be able to speak the language.
Right. And pass the citizenship test.
And pass the citizenship test.
Which I saw I saw that online like 2 weeks ago. It has like 90-something
right.
questions.
Right.
And it's something like 96 questions, and you have to get 58 of them right.
Right.
That's what it said.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's to take the test and see how you do.
Right, most people would fail it.
Most people fail. I mean, let me tell you something. And I was very proud because I actually scored like almost 80.
Good
but,
for you.
But there were some that I was like, wow.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So to me, why are we considering this amnesty? Why are we considering the fact that we're going to let people who knowingly broke the law have this again, without enforcing it, you're going to have more people pouring in. I don't get it. But the other question I have for Democrats, so people are always saying, why are the Republicans gumming up the words? I have a question for Chuck Schumer. And by the way, when did Chuck Schumer become the voice of reason when it came to immigration reform? This guy the only reason he's a senator is so he could be on camera 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
This guy is a loser. But anyway, when Chuck Schumer goes, enforcement on the part of Republicans is going to collapse this deal. I'm like, yeah, good. I don't like this legislation.
That's good, because that means he's against enforcement.
Right.
And he doesn't want that to be any part of the picture.
But why
he
would,
basically just wants to have a pathway to citizenship for the people who are here.
Or not.
But in other words, then that's it. He wants them to become citizens.
Well, listen, for the Democrats to oppose enforcement first, I am struggling to understand. See, in other words, I see the danger of putting legalization ahead of enforcement. But what is the danger in the Democratic mind, Judo Larry M., in the liberal mind, of enforcement prior to legalization?
Well, first off, you're dealing with, you have whatever percentage of them think that the enforcement issue is racial. I can tell you right now, they think it's just an attempt to, you know, to stem the tide, keep brown people out.
But you're going to have to do it. But they're not saying don't do it first. They're just saying, let's do it second.
Right. Well, yeah, but there are some of them who don't think you should do it at all.
All right.
So, but I think that their issue is that, you know, there are these people in our society and they're living in the shadows.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't have to. So, you know, the enforcement thing, that's like down the line for them. Like, let's get these people as American citizens.
Right.
Let's get them, you know, situated that they don't have to be living, again, like in the shadows. And also, I think that in a cynical way, I think the Democrats are counting on that.
They'll vote Democratic.
80-90% of these people are going to wind up in their party.
So. Of course. I agree with you. I think that those immigrants, like we said, the day that Obama opened up all the INS jails and let out all those immigrants under the guise of the sequester. Those were all Democratic votes. The day he opened those jails up, those detention centers, those became Democratic votes, and that's what they are now. Did you ever see that movie Gangs of New York?
Yeah, sure.
Right. Do you remember that scene that as soon as the Irish were coming off the boats, the Democrats from Tammany Hall in New York just like literally just said, here's a piece of bread, here's a thing of wine, vote Democrat.
Right. And then the rest of them sent them off to like the Civil War.
The Civil War. The hell was congratulations. Going on, go fight for your country. Right. So my point is that this is similar to those tactics back in the days of Tammany Hall. Democrats want to be the ones that say, we're the ones who let you stay in the country. We're the ones who don't want to enforce the fact that you're illegal aliens. So vote for us. Yeah, and they're probably right.
Yeah, they don't even care that they're here illegally. I mean, if you talk about they don't care.
No, they don't care.
They'll tell you, well, how did most white people come to the country?
Right.
You know, I mean, I used to even make a joke when I was much younger. I used to say, you know, if you weren't in a cowie, you were here illegally.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
but see, that's the other thing liberals do. They always shift the conversation. So when I've heard the argument say, okay, so why don't we enforce our immigration laws first? You'll hear this. Oh, really? And how are you going to repay the Native Americans for the damages you did to them when you illegally immigrated to this country? What? What? The hell are you talking about?
Yeah, it's...
You know, it's like, it's so, you know, like...
You know, you're dealing with people who are so obsessed with, like, race...
Yeah.
Identity
and guilt.
And guilt and why they think you're motivated to do the things that you do.
Right.
You know, look, everybody, it's enforcement first.
Right.
Get control. Let's get some idea of who's coming and going.
Right.
Even for the purposes of fighting terrorism, let's know who's coming and going.
Right.
Then the people who are here come up with some reasonable plan that gives them a pathway to citizenship, but don't make it too easy. I actually did read one thing that said they had like a 13-year plan or something like that.
Right.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Let it take that long. You broke the law. Your first act of coming here was breaking the law. You know what? Let it take 13,
and
14,
remaining undocumented
years.
This whole time.
Right.
Right? So it's not just that you got here illegally. It's that you made no effort to become legal, by and large.
Right.
You're still living, as you said, in the shadows, part of it by choice because you're afraid of being deported. So, you know, the heck with it. You know, seriously. But anyway, so that's what we got in immigration. And personally, I think the Democrats are going to get their way on this.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
it's a very emotional issue.
It's a very emotional issue. And a lot of Republicans, look, when someone like Rubio doesn't have the guts to stand up to it and he's waffling the whole time, you know, what hope is there?
Yeah.
What hope is there,
also,
honestly?
You know, look, let's face it, he is Latino. He might have some sensitivities in this area. I don't
know. Of course.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know that it's a fact. I'm just saying he might be looking at it.
Hey, you know what's interesting? I was listening to Ann Coulter yell at Sean Hannity about this issue. And one of the things that's interesting that she said, and I want your feedback on this, she said, Republicans should not be targeting Hispanics. Hispanics are not a natural Republican voting base. She said the people we should be targeting are blacks in America. Blacks are what should be a natural Republican voting bloc.
Mm, I wouldn't have said that.
Do you agree with it, though?
No, I don't.
Talk about it.
Well, okay. As far as blacks go, most African Americans that I come into contact with through my security gig and just in life, they're reasonably big believers in government. They believe in government that can help and change and level the playing field and you know, the civil rights movement. And you know, as far as they're concerned, you know, the idea of smaller, efficient government doesn't work for them. My sense of it is that they like the idea of government being a part of their lives. And I mean, and you'll see their politicians will say that we have a community that needs government assistance and needs the government to be an active partner in our lives. I don't think, I mean, I understand that what you might be referring to is some African Americans might agree on some social issues. I think they're overwhelmingly like against gay marriage and things like that.
Right.
But as far as they're a natural base of the Republican Party, I don't see that at all.
I think she meant, and again, she didn't elaborate, but what I think she was trying to mean, what she meant is that a lot of African Americans really don't, even though they'll accept the handouts from the government, they don't really want the government telling them what to do. That they have a natural aversion to that type of authoritative figure, that authoritative body. You know, if you look at the success stories in the African American community, a lot of them are self-made entrepreneurs. Like whether you think of athletes or rappers or whatever. You know, I mean, I picked obviously the obvious things, but when you look at that, so to the extent that maybe she meant that African Americans are more entrepreneurial, more independent. I think that's what you meant. I see you shaking your head. No, you're not buying it.
No, I would have said just the opposite.
Okay.
I think
Hispanics think are more likely or
more likely in another generation to be much more entrepreneurial, much more independent. And
so you think they're like the old school Cubans who came here after the Bay of Pigs?
In fact, I'll give you the perfect analogy. They're basically where they are right now is where Italians were about.
You're talking about Hispanics now.
Yes, Hispanics. Right. Yeah. They're basically where Italians were like 90 to 100 years ago.
Oh, explain that to me.
Well, they think about it.
I've never heard this analogy, so I want to hear what you have to say about it.
Some guy has a book out on it right now, but I saw it advertised in a newspaper. It was something like Hispanics or Latinos. He goes, the new Italians or something. But I had already been, you know, that's something I had already thought about in the past. They are in the sense that you're a new group coming to this country.
Right.
English is not your first language, you know, as
correct.
Opposed to, like, if you're Italian, you spoke Italian.
Right.
You know, not like,
say, unlike
not
the
Irish, who
right.
English is already
part of the issue there, yeah.
It's already your first language.
Right.
You're coming somewhere, you're very Catholic. And especially in time, like when my grandfather and my great grandmother came here, you know, it was the country was much more Protestant.
Right.
And, you know, they didn't exactly roll the red carpet out for you.
Of course.
And they didn't have groups like the ACLU and all these things like to fight for you.
Right.
And nobody cared how you got treated. You know, so they're like Italians in that regard. And, you know, like my grandfather, and I always remember this, he was registered a Democrat his whole life. But like it's starting with like the mid-60s, he didn't vote for them at all.
Right.
You know? But he didn't bother to change like his registration.
Well, my father was the exact same situation, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he was a Democrat. My grandfather was a Democrat forever.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you the new groups tend to be
Democrats.
But in a generation, that shifts very quickly. And I think that there I see the parallels between like when Italians came here, and I think that's where they are right now. But there's going to be a lot more of them, so you're going to have to, you know,
we're going to have to figure this out.
Yeah, you have to figure something out, and you don't want to be hostile towards them, because you can see it cost Romney and Ryan, you know, like during the campaign, they only got like 28% of their very small number.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Bush did better. He got like 50%.
Well, Bush,
or something.
Because Bush had been dealing with the Hispanic and community, and he spoke Spanish as the governor of Texas. You know, somebody who governs Texas or New Mexico or Arizona has to deal with that Hispanic community, because they make up significant portions of their state. So you have to learn how to deal with that voting bloc one way or another. But that was interesting from Ann Coulter. I mean, yeah, she was a little goofy. She was yelling at Hannity about him being a liberal. But I mean, I thought the statement was interesting, because much like yourself, I have to admit, I've always thought I've felt the same way you did, that if the Republicans had to target one of the main ethnic or gender groups that typically vote Democratic, and let's say women, blacks or Hispanics, I would have targeted the Hispanics myself.
Absolutely.
Because of the three, the Hispanics have, like, not to say that the others don't, but I think the Hispanics have more of that family tradition that's very important in the Hispanic community.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, where there's
more religious.
Very religious. They also have that traditional, for lack of a better term, traditional family structure. And I thought that for a lot of folks like that, you know, that would appeal if it was a Republican message. But it's interesting to me that she you know.
She's wrong.
I agree.
I'm just putting that out there.
Fair quite, enough. Quite, she's wrong.
And the reason the Republicans are losing the Hispanics is on economic and on economic issues and immigration.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sense is that the Republicans are white and hostile towards them.
Yeah.
And they're being here. They're hostile towards it. And on economics, the Democrat, whether it's true or not, I don't think it is, but they've been able to sell the message that the Republicans really care about the guys at the top of the food chain.
Right.
And if you're Hispanic, that's not you by and large in this country.
Well, it's not anybody by and large.
Well, no, but it's mostly white people. But the point is, but there's certainly no reason then for them to say, oh, the Republicans are for me, because they're not. The perception is they're not economically, and on immigration, they just don't even want you here. So piss off.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So anyway, interesting conversation there.
I like but
stop it. You never know who's going to come crashing through the door if you keep doing that.
I know. I just, you know what it is? I heard it on the show before.
Yeah, you saw it on the news, right?
Yes.
Now it's just stuck in your head like a bad Beatles song or something.
Hey.
I know you're a big Beatles
fan. You better watch it. The Beatles have no bad songs.
Okay.
I just saw Paul McCartney last Saturday.
Well, you can't hold me responsible for that. I'm not a Beatles fan.
You are just ignoramus.
All right. Hey. Speaking of ignoramus, did you see the latest Chris Matthews thing from the other night?
I don't know if that's ignorance or if he's just gone.
He's an idiot.
I think he's haunting a vegetable patch and he's never coming home.
You know the clip I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
So Chris Matthews, just to let everyone know.
Who is not Black Irish.
So Chris Matthews went on the air last night. He had James Carville as one of his guests. And they were talking about Senator Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz. Who, by the way, in the past has been accused by Democrats of not even really being Hispanic. I think Bill Richardson or somebody said that about him, that Ted Cruz really isn't Hispanic, you know?
It's like, meanwhile, his name is Richards, and he is from New Mexico.
So the funny part is, anyway, Ted Cruz has now become, I think even more than Rand Paul, has become the number one target of liberal-like idiots throughout this country. And the reason is that for the most part, and I have to admit, as disappointed as I am in Marco Rubio, I am even more disappointed in, as disappointed as I am in Marco Rubio, I am super proud of Senator Ted Cruz. Because I think, despite what Democrats will attempt to tell you, he really does make sense when he talks. So unlike a lot of other conservative / libertarians who come off as wacko, you know, like Michelle Bachmann and her dopey pray away the gay husband or whatever.
Well, he was funny.
He was funny, but he comes all, you know how he comes across. Same thing with Bachmann with her crazy bug out eyes and stuff.
Bachmann.
Ted Cruz comes across as sensible, someone who speaks plainly and to the point and it doesn't say stupid things. But of course, that isn't enough for Chris Matthews because he has to make him out. So he basically compared him to, alternately, Father Coughlin, who was a racist Catholic preacher, a radio preacher in the 1930s, who sided with Hitler because he agreed that Jews needed to be eliminated from the U.S.,
Nice.
Right? Nice. So Matthews compared Ted Cruz to Father Coughlin. He compared him to Joseph McCarthy, which of course is the N-word for for Democrats, right? Whenever they want to smear a Republican, they just call him a McCarthyite, a Joseph McCarthy. Which, by the way, how's Alger Hiss doing, by the way? McCarthy wasn't entirely wrong, you
watch your language.
Well, is okay in the FCC, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but not,
it's not a curse word.
Not if we have to put a show together.
That's right. Demo. I'll beep that out then. I'll go back and beep
since
it
you
out.
Started the
you're
show
right. You're
with
right.
You don't want to hear any.
You're right. I'll go
language.
Beep it out. I'll make sure it's beeped out. Phil, mark the time on that, Phil. All right. What was that? About 29 minutes? Okay. We'll go back.
So Coughlin, McCarthy.
Yeah. And then he also said to him, all these right wing nuts look the same. They all have that Black Irish look to them.
Pat Buchanan.
Yeah, and then he compared them negatively, by the way, to Pat Buchanan and Bill O'Reilly.
And Bill O'Reilly has gray hair.
So let's. And by the way, you know what Ted Cruz's offense was that set this off for Chris Matthews? Because he played the clips.
Yeah, I know.
The one that offended him the most is there was a clip of Ted Cruz saying, "We learned from Ronald Reagan. We're Ronald Reagan's children," meaning that conservatives and conservative Republicans have learned how to govern from Reagan, right?
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And then the next thing he said was a quote that he said to the effect, Barack Obama should be president of Harvard Law, or right. he should be the president of Harvard, because on that faculty, there's more communists than Republicans.
Than Republicans.
Okay. Now, in your opinion... I'm being serious right now.
Of course, we're getting that quote from Chris Matthews.
This is Chris Matthews.
This could have been tongue-in-cheek, and we don't know why.
We don't know, but even taking it at face value.
Okay.
Even taking it at face value.
Okay.
What of all the things that were said would give Chris Matthews reason to get so worked up?
Well,
because do you agree that he kind of got worked up?
Oh, I he's insane.
No, but I mean on this issue. I don't want to miscategorize it.
No, absolutely.
Okay.
No, I absolutely did. But look, for Chris Matthews, good morning from a Republican could be a reason to go crazy. He's got the hair.
Right.
He's got the crazy look. I mean, you know.
But what set him off? I'm still trying to figure it out.
I have no idea. And the way he connected all those guys and claiming they're black, Irish, they all have that
right.
look. What is that?
And because he said that about Harvard, somehow he's Joseph McCarthy.
Yeah, and then Matthews like very quickly
honestly, he said
he should be the president of Harvard Law. I assume the communists will vote for the president.
Like, let's okay. Show of hands in the studio. That's just me and you, Judah Larry.
Shut up, Phil.
How many of us think that Republicans outnumber communists in Harvard?
I don't.
I don't see any hands shooting up.
I'm keeping my hands squarely under my ass.
As a matter of fact, Judah Larry, I would be probably persuaded to make a bet that there's more communists than Republicans in 95% of the college campuses in this country.
I'm willing to bet there are more communists at MSNBC than in the Republican Party.
And yes, who else would a communist vote for given the choice of Barack Obama or a Republican?
Or any Republican.
Or why? Are you trying to convince me that Barack Obama is a hard conservative at this point, Chris Matthews? You moron.
He's not even a moderate Democrat.
Oh, jeez. But did you see that when they cut, after he said all that stuff, they cut to James Carville?
He was laughing
and he said, well, you got to watch out because like the voters in South Carolina, this is their man. He talks to them.
He goes, they like this guy. He's more like them than like you, Chris. Like,
but did you see the look in his eyes? Like almost as if to say, don't mock this too much.
Yeah.
This is the type of guy that could sneak up on you politically.
No, but also what he was trying to let Chris Matthews know was being such an obnoxious liberal about this. He's letting him know, look, you know, Carville, he's from the South. And he's saying, look, the average Southern voter likes this kind of guy, likes his talk, likes his manner, likes the way he is, and you're here like running him into the ground, calling him all these names. You know, you don't win people over when you insult them and you alienate them like that.
Right, unless you're kooky like Chris Matthews. But let me ask you this. The thing that amazes me is on a liberal station like MSNBC, a far left-leaning liberal socialist communist station like MSNBC, why is Chris Matthews using ethnic slurs for anyone? Why is he referring to anyone as black Irish? In other words, if I said to Chris Matthews,
yeah.
right, who's a Hispanic senator for the Democrats? Pick one. I'm kind of stumped right now.
I don't even know. Do they have any?
Whoever it is. I don't know. Let's say it was Bill Richardson when he was still governor, right?
Okay.
He's Hispanic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I went up to him and said, you know, all these Hispanic Democrats, they all look like Speedy Gonzalez to me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or all these Mexicans coming across the border look like Speedy Gonzalez to me. Oh, man, would there be an S storm of like, like you guys are racist. How dare you put everybody into this category?
That's derogatory.
That's this, that's that.
That would be very much macho.
Yeah. But Chris Matthews, but see, this is part of the liberal conceit, Judo Larry.
But he's used worse things than
no,
that.
No, I understand. But this is the way the liberals think, right? Because they are correct in their minds.
Right.
In their minds, they're on the side of Jesus on this one. They're allowed to use slurs like that
when
it applies to conservatives or Republicans, because we all know conservatives and Republicans are Satan spawn. We know that. So it's okay to call them whatever you want.
Right.
That's not a problem. But God forbid you refer to Hillary's cankles.
Yeah.
that's horrible.
Yeah. He had one a few years back. He was talking about some problem they had in Pennsylvania or something with some congressman, and they were both, and once again, and you know, he's Irish, and he was talking about some congressman. He goes, oh boy, he goes, no respect for the mix out like that on
wow, the, you're kidding me.
Yeah, on the show. Absolutely. Chris Matthews said that whatever he was talking about, he went, oh, no respect for the mix out here. Like, and I was like, look at this knucklehead. It was something to do with something going on in Pennsylvania. And, you know, it's funny, too, because Chris Matthews, I do also remember one show where he mentioned that his brother's a member of the NRA, which must drive him crazy.
Oh, yeah, so, it must keep him up at night. No, but see, and I didn't know about the Mick comment that you just made. But the thing that's interesting to me is that this guy thinks he's above it all. And, you know, I've seen the same thing with Touré, for example, on MSNBC.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where he'll just... And again, I'm not. And again, you have to understand, I'm not saying that I am so uptight and so restrictive on language that you can't throw a joke like they've got a black Irish look to them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's the hypocrisy. Exactly. That, you know, that no, like Mitt Romney gets harangued for referring to the 47% not paying taxes, and that those people will never vote for me. Do you remember when he said that?
Or did he say 47% do and the rest don't?
Right, okay. And those are not the people who will vote for me or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you remember the reactions at MSU? What does he mean by those people? Is those people code for blacks?
Is he saying nobody else pays taxes and only, they're all lazy?
Just last week we talked about it. Martin Bashir on MSNBC claims that IRS is the new N-word for Republicans.
Oh, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Listen to this nonsense. Like, they have to go two steps further and refer to the Internal Revenue Service as the new N-word in the hands of Republicans. But Chris Matthews doesn't even have to blink twice about calling Ted Cruz the black Irish.
And why is he dragging in Pat Buchanan?
Because he hates Pat Buchanan.
I know, but they used to work together for years. I mean, that goes...
Of course, but that doesn't mean anything. They were getting paid.
Yeah, I guess.
Pay me a couple of million a year and I'll sit there and kiss Rachel Maddow's ass. Literally. I don't care. Yeah. It's like, you know, so that doesn't mean anything. But I mean, so it's an overall liberal hypocrisy.
Oh, absolutely.
And specifically to Chris Matthews, in my opinion, he's lost his mind.
Yeah, but he's been gone for years. You know what it was? I'm not kidding. I used to watch the show.
Right.
And he was like a reasonable...
He was okay.
Guy.
He was, I remember,
no,
those
he
times.
He was a reasonable... In the 90s, he was... totally reasonable. Then I'm telling you right now, if somebody were to ask me when it really turned, it would be the Iraq War. He didn't support it. He didn't like it. And I just remember he started getting louder.
Right.
And he started getting like a little crazier. And like his show used to cover like a wide range of issues. And then he started becoming very narrowly focused.
Right.
Then the whole philosophy of the station changed because Fox's ratings were skyrocketing.
They still are.
And they're considered very conservative.
Right.
So they decided we're going to be the
anti-Fox.
Of this.
Yeah.
So we're going to be the anti-Fox. We have all these liberals. And, you know, you have to remember, they had Donahue on for a while, and his show had horrible ratings, went off the air. They had a whole bunch of people who failed. And now even this guy Schultz has basically failed, and they relegated him to Saturday.
Sure.
And now they're, you know, they got Maddow, they got Lawrence O'Donnell, who I personally think is an imbecile.
Right.
But Matthews is, that war just did something to him. And ever since then, he's looked crazier. He's been irrational.
Right.
He's been abusive to some people.
Right, right.
And given the green light to be like liberal, he's really being himself. Now he's really out there.
I mean, right. And you know what my other thesis here is that MSNBC, without continuously stoking racial animosity and class warfare, has nothing to talk about. I honestly believe that liberals always, like, when you look at the top radio stations, the top news shows and talk shows, they're all conservatives. All of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And even if you can't explain why, the truth of the matter is, like, Air America failed, progressive radio fails, progressive TV shows fail. Even current TV, Al Gore's famous, like, he had to sell it to Al Jazeera, of all things.
And he sold it in time to get a tax break.
Of course. So yeah, liberals just lose their minds, and I think without racial tension and without ethnic tension and without gender and class warfare, these guys have nothing to talk about. Martin Bashir has no vested interest in telling you that people are getting along.
No.
He has a vested interest in seeing racism in every statement, every action, every legislation that comes out of the right.
Right.
Now, you could also argue that the right-wingers have a vested interest in claiming government tyranny and everything.
Oh, they do.
And they do.
Yeah, they talk about the size of government. They talk about the debt. They talk about what the debt is taking out of your pocket. Yeah. They talk about taxes.
Of course.
Everybody has their niche issues that work for them.
Right.
But what you just said is something which I've said about liberals forever. They're just obsessed with your color, what's between your legs, and now what your orientation is. I mean,
what's going
they're
in
like
your
obsessed
butt?
With it. Yeah. Well, I like that too. So
yeah, but Democrats just can't get by on just the issues anymore. They can't. You know, it's like
the economy's not turning around. That the genius they elected,
right? And they're just denying it.
They were expecting. I'm not kidding. He and they were expecting that he would have this all straightened out within 2 years of taking
office. Right. The fact that they still have to blame Bush, and the fact, you know, like the new thing is. It's not Barack Obama's fault because he's been the most obstructed president in the history of the country.
Yeah, well, that's baloney. Really? Where were you people during the Bush years?
Yeah, exactly. Where were you during any president's term, by and large? To claim that Barack Obama has been the most obstructed president in this nation's history, when, like, he, for the most part, he's had... you know, he had a 2-year favorable run with Congress where his party controlled Congress. Then now the Senate is still controlled by his party. You're telling me this is the most obstructionist minority party against the sitting president? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they're trying to work the argument that he can't get things done because of the Republicans.
Yeah.
That's just nonsense.
That's nonsense. He can't get things done because he's not a leader. He doesn't take the lead on anything. The only thing I've seen him take...
And they can't get their own people on board.
Well, that's the other thing. And again, what have we always said? Because liberals cater to so many different interest groups, they can't form an effective coalition of leadership.
Right.
Like I just saw where Ralph Nader was saying that Obama is the biggest buffoon or the worst president ever. Ralph Nader said this. Now, of course, Ralph Nader said it because he thinks Obama should be even more to the left. He thinks he should have tripled the federal minimum wage, and he thinks, you know, there should be universal health care and all that crap.
Calm down, Ralph.
Yeah. But the point being is he can't even get his base in line. He can't even satisfy them at this point.
Yeah.
So Obama has failed to lead because he's a horrible leader, not because of obstructionist policies or anything.
Right.
He's a horrible, horrible leader.
Also,
I'm sorry.
His entire campaign pitch was a lie.
Yeah.
Obviously, the whole hope and change.
Yeah.
Think about it. If you think of what he ran on before he got elected, he was going to change the culture in D.C. How many times did I hear him say that?
Right.
Stump speeches. Because if you follow politics like I do, you know, during the campaign season, I'm watching this stuff all the time.
Right.
Everywhere he goes, the culture's broken. It's bad. It's this. He goes, he's going to get the town, and the Democrats, Republicans, they're all going to sit down and have a Coke and a smile, and he's going to strengthen things. And all he's done is insult the Republicans left and right. I mean, look, it's kind of like what I was just saying about what Carville was telling Matthews before. If you want to win people over, if you want them, you cannot insult them.
Right.
You cannot alienate them.
Right.
Normal people, and I'm saying normal, of any stripe, normal people do not respond to that.
They react negatively.
That. Of course.
Think of your own life.
Even
you know.
A few years ago, when Obama was asked something about the economics and the policies, he went, well, I told the Republicans, you can't have the keys to the car because you don't know how to drive.
Right.
And he said, like, some stupid thing like that. And I was like, okay, good. Some idiot in your staff wrote that for you. You repeated it. But you know what? You're just insulting people. They're not going to work with you.
And I still say this, and this is what infuriates liberals. And I've had, you know, I always troll and antagonize these people. But I had this conversation. They all keep saying, well, you know, he's been obstructed. People won't work with him. And I said, listen, wait a second. When the great Ronald Reagan took over, he was dealing with Jimmy Carter's mess.
So was it a million times worse.
A borderline,
I remember.
Yeah, a borderline depression, high unemployment, high interest rates.
Hostages in Iran,
high inflation, which, by the way, all the Keynesians assured us you couldn't have both at the same time.
Right.
Thank you, stupid economic theory.
Wrong again.
Yeah.
14% inflation, 21.5% interest rates, 9.6% unemployment.
Right. Horrible.
Everything wrong.
And what happened with the Gipper? He took the bullet. He said he had to take inflation under control, which meant less government spending, because that's just the direct correlation.
Yeah.
He suffered for 2 years. The first 2 years of his presidency, he suffered. His approval ratings were like in the low 30s because he had to take the hit. He knew that the medicine was going to be bitter. And guess what? By the third year, things turned around. here's Reagan that has no other branch of government on his side.
Well, yeah, but he had Senate. He had the, they had the Senate.
No,
yes, they did.
The Senate became Republican in 1986.
82. From 82 to 86, they had it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I would disagree with you, but I'll check on that.
Well, we can check on that.
But the point being is, he still... So even if that's the case, then he had a case similar to Obama's. Let's put it that way then.
Okay.
Very similar to Obama's then.
Yeah, but he never had control of both, like Obama did.
Never.
And he had to put up with Tip O'Neill and people like that.
Jim Hightower.
Yeah, Hightower was a little later on, but he had Tip O'Neill, and O'Neill was really a pain in the ass liberal from Massachusetts.
Right.
And even though they were friendly officially, he really did everything he could to undermine Reagan. And, you know, when you think of that guy's, I mean, compared to somebody like Boehner, who is kind of a lightweight.
He's a weak
so,
one.
So, yeah, so.
That was my impression of Boehner at the mic.
I like
my, at the podium.
Yeah. Nobody wants to see an orange guy cry. No. All right. Okay.
Loser. Then we wonder why the Republicans can't get anywhere. But seriously, so stop complaining, Obamaites. Stop making excuses. I've already documented for you in previous episodes that this guy has produced the weakest economic recovery by just about any measure, whether you go by jobs created, whether you go by unemployment rate, whether you go by inflation. The only thing he's got working for him is the inflation rate hasn't crept up. Right. But that's because of these ridiculous monetary policies. 0% interest rate. Tell me what that's like now that you're earning 0% on your bank account, folks.
Yeah.
But anyway, so my point is stop making excuses for Obama, liberals. Just live up to own what you've done. It hasn't worked.
There's been very little hope and very little change.
No transparency.
And no transparency whatsoever, which is always a big deal with Democrats.
Yeah, let's.
And for the finale, even if you don't believe in deregulation, even if you don't believe in lower taxes, even if you don't believe in supply side economics.
Or decency.
But Christian decency. But even if you don't. Look, this business of constantly interfering in the economy, picking winners and losers, showing, like, you know, the Solyndra thing. This definitely doesn't work.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, if he had half a brain in his head,
say it.
When he came into office, hallelujah, he came into office with $11 trillion in debt.
Yes, sir.
He should have gotten it to 10, then to 9. Then
praise the Lord.
Instead of getting it up to 16, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. So what he should have done, I really wish everyone could see this. You see a big fat man testifying like this is just beautiful. Oh, dear. Stop laughing, Phil. But look.
Yeah, you're right.
But I agree with your basic premise. This really isn't very much in the way of leadership.
No.
And he's just getting away with it because the media and the Hollywood people still think he's the coolest guy in the world.
In the bag
for him. They think he's the coolest guy in the world. And they, you know, they're not going to assess his job performance based on what he's done. It's always going to be some external.
I can't believe how many. Yeah, just a segue. I still can't believe Benghazi is being forgotten.
Yeah, it's gone.
The IRS is just barely on the back burner.
That guy is still that Nikuli Muli idiot. He's still in jail for his stupid 14.
Oh yeah,
trailer.
The guy who did the YouTube thing.
No, but in other words, I know that guy's a jerk, but he doesn't belong in jail.
No, he doesn't belong in jail. But the thing I wanted to ask you is the most recent scandal, which is the not the scandal, but I guess the NSA issue of them collecting phone records. The whistleblower, Edward Snowden.
Snowden.
You know, I understand that I'm upset that the government is violating my Fourth Amendment rights.
Yeah.
I get that. All right? And I'm really upset about it. You know how I feel about that crap where they're collecting metadata from phone records from a private American citizens by an organization whose mandate is to only intercept those communications of foreign entities.
Right.
Right? And so I hate that. And anyone who tells me not to be afraid of government tyranny or what's the big deal if people follow your records, what's the big deal? I've got a president who used the IRS to target conservatives for political motives, and this guy has every phone record I've ever made, every email I've ever sent. every porn I've ever downloaded.
How about just the principle?
Yeah, and the principle of the thing. Right.
That they're not supposed to be doing it.
Right. I don't need to give you an excuse. I don't need to give you a reason why someone shouldn't violate my constitutional rights.
It's like that thing. Remember like a year ago, whatever idiot in the local, the Yonkers paper, whatever, printed all the gun owners?
Yeah.
Right? Excuse me. It's none of your business, and you're not supposed to be doing it. You don't have to have a reason for why you object to these things. See, this is why the left wingers are idiots. Because what they don't understand is the Constitution in itself is an objection to government.
Yeah.
Here's a list of what your rights are, and we're going to keep the government out. You can say whatever you want. You're going to own a gun.
Yeah.
You're protected from unreasonable search and seizure.
Yeah.
You're protected from cruel and unusual punishment.
Right.
You don't have to incriminate yourself.
Freedom of assembly and association and speech and religion, all these things. You're absolutely right. And I was having this argument with someone on Facebook today. And they said to me, "Goes, can you give me specific examples where the government collecting records, phone records, have affected you negatively?" And I said, "I don't have to give you a reason.
Of course.
Why do I have to give you a reason?" I said, I told him, I said, "You're anti-gun. Does that mean you need to wait till someone pulls a rod in your face and then you can be anti-gun? Hell no!"
But whoever this person is, I'll bet you this is the same idiot who was against the Patriot Act like 8 years ago. And what was their favorite argument back then? Oh, they're reading my emails.
Right.
And then they, if you remember, and even Chris Matthews and those people talked about this, they kept trolling out some story about some old lady in a library in Minnesota, and they read her emails, and it was a mistake, and this and that, and it shows that the government shouldn't have this kind of power, because when they do, this is the kind of stuff that they do.
And guess what? They were right.
Yes.
And they were right.
Right. But here's the thing. You don't need a reason for why you don't want the government reading your emails. Now, look, I realize privacy is kind of unfortunately going the way of the dodo. And I do understand that you do live in a society where we also give away a lot of it. But that's a choice. You put stuff about yourself on Facebook. You put stuff back when it was around in MySpace and these things. But you have to realize that's a choice. If I want to do that, that's one thing.
Right.
But I don't want the government, A, knowing, and B, sneaking around without telling me, violating my Fourth Amendment.
Using coercive measures to do so. I don't need any of that crap. And honestly, the Bill of Rights is my birthright as an American citizen. In other words, I don't have to give you a reason for me saying stupid things on this show. I don't have to give you a reason. It's my right. I don't have to give you a reason to have a gun to protect myself against the government potentially charging into my house. I don't need a reason.
It's clearly laid out in the first 10 amendments.
I don't have to tell you why I choose to associate with Judo Larry M and not another person. That's my right. I don't have to justify myself to you. That's my right as an American, you idiot.
Yes.
And the second you give away these rights under the premise of, "Well, show me where you've been injured by someone violating your rights."
That's stupid.
That's nuts.
That's stupid.
And it allows the government to take more and more away from you. I don't mean to sound like Alex Jones,
but
I'm not an absolutist, Judo Larry.
They don't understand. Being damaged directly or indirectly, it means nothing. What does that mean? At some point in this country's history, black people were considered 3/5 of a man. If you were white at the time, is there any damage being done to you? Or what do you even care?
One could argue we might have been better off. That's the mentality. That's the type of stupid logic that is elicited by people who talk like that. All right? The fact that the government didn't find out what I talked to Judo Larry M about the other night.
Thank God.
All right.
The point is that they shouldn't be doing it. Now, if a judge, and this is where I'm 50-50, aside from those idiots, this is where I'm 50-50, and I want to know where you fall on it. I don't know if I'm pro or anti Edward Snowden.
I'm against
him. I don't know if he's a hero or if he's a criminal. I'm on the fence with it, because while I agree that I don't think any of this snooping, whether it's the NSA, the IRS, whatever, I hate it with a passion. But at the same time, this guy did spill a very effective anti-terrorist tactic.
Yeah, a lot of truthful beans out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, I kind of justify it by saying the government was wrong But if they felt the need to pay attention to someone in that manner, they could have gotten a warrant.
Well, I mean, they're claiming also that they've thwarted attacks with all this.
Yeah,
this stuff.
But it's the old argument. Do the ends justify the means?
No, absolutely. And that's why
it's the old argument.
That's why I'm against it. And B, I'm against this guy because you have to realize something else. We don't live in a vacuum.
Right.
We don't live in the 1930s where if you did something, nobody else in the rest of the world would even know.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you live in a world where, so if we know about it, our enemies know about it.
Right.
And I don't want our enemies to know about.
No, I agree.
You know, when these guys are Julian, what's his face?
Assange, yeah.
You know, even though he's not an American citizen,
right.
And I don't expect any loyalty from
right.
him. The difference between him and that Manning soldier
yeah.
and the difference between this jerk is...
They were working for the government, basically.
They're working for the government. You're American citizens.
He was a contractor.
I understand that you're putting out the information. I understand that it's true, but you know what? If we know about it, then our enemies know about
right.
it. And you don't want these guys in Iran and North Korea, wherever, you don't want them knowing these things because these things are going to be used against us.
Absolutely.
They're not sitting around thinking, oh boy, now that we know this, we won't do anything with this information.
But now, this
we
is,
like the Americans.
But, and I hear you. I hear you. And I've always said the Bill of Rights is not a suicide pact. It's not here for me to be killed by my enemies while I observe the Fourth Amendment. I understand that. But Judah Laram, let me ask you this. Especially with this administration and the proclivity they've shown for abuses of government power, what do we do?
Yeah.
What's the answer here?
Exactly what I said last week with the Verizon thing. The problem here is once government gets power like this, they never give it back.
No, of course
they
not.
They never give it back. Look at all, like, man, the thing I keep reminding people about all the time. Bush passes the Patriot Act. Okay, I was against that. You were against that. Okay, that goes on 3-4 years. There are protests.
Right.
People in Hollywood talking about him.
Right.
Bill Maher, really upset. And then a year before his reelection, now Obama's president, but he's 3 years in.
Right.
The election's coming up. The Republicans are running people. And there's this tiny little article in the newspaper that says Obama extends Patriot Act for 3 more years. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
You got to be kidding me. He's not going to let it run out. A guy with his point of view.
Right.
And of course, there were no protests from the left wingers.
Because it's their man.
It's their guy, once again, proving they're hypocrites. Plus,
well, not
they're,
just,
they're idiots because their assumption is, well, he must know what he's doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. And I can't give this one solely on the left because I read a poll that said at the time Bush passed the Patriot Act, the support was 75% Republican, 25% Democrat at the time the Patriot Act was passed by Bush. Now, when it's Obama doing this nonsense, the support is 67% Democrat,
right.
and 34% or 33% Republican.
Right.
My point being that this has become a political hack issue. Whoever's in power wants that power.
Right.
Right? But that's why we as American citizens, and Judah Laram, even though I know this Snowden is a shady character, he tried to get asylum from China, from Hong Kong, from Russia. Yeah. Putin said he could come stay with us, you know, right? And I think finally New Zealand granted him asylum, right?
I like,
but my point is, I don't think this guy is entirely on the up and up. He may have other motives. I don't know.
He might have other motives, but I just think that when this kind of information gets out, I start thinking about the, I don't want to say the bigger picture. I don't like that expression, but I am looking at the world around me and I'm thinking, wow, this can really be used against us. And we don't need that.
Yeah.
There's enough people out there who are trying to damage this country.
You're right. You're right. That's why I said I'm torn.
We don't need our own people doing it.
Right. I'm
That's
torn.
Why when like that Muslim guy who was an American citizen got killed with the drone attack.
Yeah.
Al-Aliki or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, good riddance. I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care that he's an American. It doesn't carry enough weight with me that he's spending all this time thinking how I can kill Americans.
No. So the fact that he's an American citizen is the first consideration. But to me, the second consideration is he's a traitor. He's declared himself an enemy.
Well, that's my first consideration.
Yeah. Well, but I'm saying.
The fact that he's an American falls into second place.
Fair enough. But I mean, he renounced his rights, as far as I'm concerned, when he became an enemy combatant, a known enemy combatant. So you're right. In that case, you're absolutely
right.
You know
what I mean? Like, in other
words, you're right.
The fact that they're Americans, that actually takes the back seat because I got to look at what they did.
Fair enough.
And if you're doing something as an American that is incredibly detrimental to this country.
It's treasonous. That's all it is. It's treason.
Yeah. And he's also, I think he's also in violation of the Espionage Act, something I heard Congressman King talking about.
Yeah, but that's treason, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day. But the point is, there are reasons, there are arguments for here for why he's not a hero.
Right.
And he's not a great guy for what he did.
Right. Snowden, you mean?
Yeah, Snowden. Plus, on Red Eye, they were talking about his girlfriend, and she said his ex-girlfriend, and she says he's a jerk.
So. Oh, fair enough. Okay. Well, that seals it then.
That seals it.
All right. Here's another topic I want to run. I know we're coming up, and this will be a bonus show, but I want to get your side on this. Jury selection has started down in Florida for the Zimmerman Trayvon Martin case. For those, just to give a quick refresher, George Zimmerman was a neighborhood watchman who observed a young black man, Trayvon Martin, in his neighborhood, looking suspicious, wearing a hoodie.
I think it was a gated community.
Community, perhaps. I think so. Ends up following him. There's some sort of skirmish. Zimmerman pulls a gun, shoots Trayvon Martin. Kid is dead. Zimmerman at first was investigated by the local police and released. Then after political pressure, he was arrested for the death of Trayvon Martin.
Right. Should also stipulate that he called in to his like local watch or the police.
He called the 911.
And they told him actually to back off.
They
and
said
that the police would show up.
Well, actually, the transcript is very clear. Yeah. The transcript says, I'm following him. And they said, well, we don't need you to do that.
Right.
But Zimmerman is heard saying, okay. And that's the last of the transcript.
Right.
Right. So there's a lot of things here, but I wanted to ask you, given what you know about the case, and again, nobody was there, so we don't know, but given what you've heard about the case, given the 911 transcripts, given the physical evidence, are you pro or against Zimmerman?
I have to tell you, I'm actually against. And even though I get the sense that this Trayvon Martin kid is not the angel that they made him look
No. Yeah,
they kept using the same picture on all the news channels.
From high school or something.
He's 12 years old with this big smile on his face, which is very misleading.
Right.
I get the feeling he's an obnoxious punk. But
He's been in trouble. He was fighting. He was involved in drugs.
Yeah.
But
my only problem with Zimmerman, and on another smaller note very quickly, once again showing like how liberals are crazy about race. Oh, he got shot by a white guy. Then you see him. He's very Hispanic looking.
And he's Hispanic German.
He's white and Hispanic, but obviously the Hispanic side, he looks much more.
Well, what was interesting is the media, in order to ferment the racial angle, kept referring to him as a white Hispanic.
Yeah. thank you for the oxymoron.
No, thank you for the first time that phrase has ever been used in the news.
Thank you.
A white Hispanic.
But I do get the feeling, leeches. Though, my only problem with him is, I'm not, even though this kid turned out to be a jerk, I'm not crazy about just looking at somebody and assuming that they're up to no good.
Right.
And then B, my understanding of it is they did tell him what you said. Look, we don't need you to do that.
Which is not legally binding, by the way.
Right. I know, but they told him not to follow.
No, but I understand.
Clearly he ignored it. He ignored what they said and he went and did it anyway.
He said
later on, the police never show up. And
the guy always gets away. This has happened before. Right. People have been robbed. The guy always gets away. So he followed him.
To me, look, I don't care. To me, you called the police. You registered. You let them do their job. And you back off. You don't follow. And I'm not happy with that. That doesn't work for me. I work in security.
Even if that's his job?
What's his job?
The job was to be a watchman for that community.
Look, this is a guy who was a wannabe cop. He tried to be a cop 10 times and he failed the test.
I understand. He was a wannabe.
He's trying to be a tough guy and a wannabe. Look, this whole thing could have been avoided had he not followed him.
Oh, sure.
So just let the police do
their job. Well, we assume he followed him.
No, he admits he followed him. They said
he followed him. He says he was keeping an eye on him.
Yeah,
and that the guy turned and attacked him, basically.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
Nobody knows if it's true. I'm saying that's what he's claiming.
My thing is, he called the police. They acknowledged.
He did have injuries, by the way.
I know that. The guy beat his head into the ground.
And his nose was broken and everything.
Well, he lost the fight to this kid.
Fair enough. Okay, so it wasn't like he executed the kid, in my opinion.
No,
I don't think he said, ooh, a black kid, let me shoot him.
No,
I don't think that's what happened.
No, but he did say, ooh, a black kid, let me follow.
Yes, absolutely.
But I'll go along with that.
You
call the police, let them do their job. When people start doing these things on their own, disasters happen. This is why you have professionals, let them do their job.
But I'm playing devil's advocate, though. But as someone who believes in your right to carry arms, as you said, you're in security, as someone who has the right to defend himself, and given Florida stand your ground laws, why does this guy have to constantly allow that neighborhood to be robbed in his mind? Why does he constantly call the police and they never show up on time? Why isn't it within the rights of the citizen to protect his community and his home?
Yeah.
And again, nobody knows what happened. I want to emphasize
he's not protecting his home here. The kid was walking down
his
the
neighborhood.
Sidewalk.
I said his neighborhood or his home. In this case, it's the neighborhood.
I don't know. Look, you know what? I think that to some degree encourages lawlessness. Also, the standing ground thing, that's if you've been attacked or somebody
does
something.
Which he claims is what happened.
Well,
he claims he was attacked. See, it's more complicated than you think.
I think he followed them.
So let me ask you something. When the paparazzi follow a celebrity and they're right on them with those cameras snapping and everything,
right?
Does the celebrity have the right to turn around and punch the paparazzi in the nose? The courts have ruled no.
No.
The courts have said that's assault. No,
but on the other hand, when you're a celebrity, you know that that's also part of your life, to have cameras and people following. That's part of being famous.
But that,
this is, that's not what this
but,
is.
But that doesn't...
This is watching a kid walk down the street and assuming he's up to no good.
No, but the point is that the courts have ruled that the mere act of following someone does not justify violence against them.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fine. And
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, that's fine. But in reality, that's not the way it works. If you walk out of the studio tonight and somebody starts following you, you're not going to be.
Oh, no, I agree. You know,
you're not going to be thinking, well, that's what the law says. You're
what I'm
the
trying to say.
Person following.
No, I don't disagree with you. But what I'm saying is that's why this case to me is so in the gray area. Like, believe it or not, I know you might think that I'm 100% on Zimmerman's side. I'm not.
No.
I'm really not.
You haven't told me what.
I'm actually torn between the two. Like, if you talk to me at different times of the day, I will give you a different opinion.
Well, that's very liberal of you.
It's really weird because, like, on the one hand, to your point, I don't want to encourage vigilantes. I don't want to encourage people who take the law into their own hands. What was that? Phil? No, but at the same time, citizens who have been robbed on a consistent basis,
yeah,
and the police have been of no help, is it unreasonable for them to say, okay, here's our watchman, he's licensed to carry a gun, it wasn't an illegal gun from what I understand,
yeah,
and he followed somebody who looked suspicious and there was some sort of scuffle and the kid got shot.
Wow.
There's no denying the physical evidence that Zimmerman had the crap kicked out of him.
Yeah, the kid bashed his head into
and at that point, if the guy's in fear of his life. So here's the question to you.
Since but in fear of his life, you see, the problem is while you were doing and you went and, right. The problem is you very quickly threw out, and there was like a fight. And if it, you don't know how it started.
You're right.
In other words, I agree with you. I get the feeling that Zimmerman provoked the
I don't know. So I don't know.
I know we don't know. But
that's why you're asking
me my opinion. I'm pretty sure he provoked it.
I know. We're just
he
talking.
He probably yelled out to him like, hey, kid. Or
right.
So he'd say, probably
or get the hell out of here or whatever.
What are you doing here?
Right, right.
And like any normal person, nobody likes being talked to that
way. Of course
not. Even a little kid. So,
yeah.
You know.
Not that he was all that little, but I know what you mean.
But he
was a kid. I understand what you're saying. But that's why I told you. I'm on the fence, man. It almost depends, like I'm waiting for that one piece of evidence that shows me one way or another. Like,
yeah.
Does somebody have a video of Zimmerman calling him an asshole and berating him and following him too closely and the kid was afraid for his life or his safety? Then, yeah, I'm on Trayvon Martin's side. If it comes out that this guy was following him to keep an eye on him, which anyone can do. I understand it's creepy, but especially if you're a watchman in a neighborhood and someone looks suspicious... And you said we know common sense, right?
Uh-huh.
What if you saw a guy in a hoodie, a teenager, obviously not in the neighborhood, if it's a gated community, he's not a resident,
yeah,
and he's there, for the sake of argument, I'm not saying this happened, staring at somebody's front yard window.
Yeah.
If you're the night watchman or the patrolman or whatever the neighborhood watch guy is called, and you see that, wouldn't you pull up and say, what are you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. What are you doing here?
I guess.
And the kid could have said something like, well, I can walk where I want to walk. And the guy goes, okay, so can I. I'll just follow you everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's not as black and white as a lot of people seem to indicate.
No, that's all. No. There's clearly some gray area that we need information to fill it in.
Right.
But I must say, because we do have on the record, he did call the cops.
Yeah.
And they did tell him not to.
And he agreed. And he said, okay.
Yeah, but I don't think he did that.
Okay, so that's where the speculation starts for both of us.
Yeah, I think he said, okay. And then he just ignored it and he
right.
kept following him.
But even the cops said that advice was for his protection, not the kids.
Well, that's fine, but then he should have adhered to it.
I'm just saying.
He should have said, okay, I'm going home.
Okay.
And the police can get here and find this kid in his Skittles.
Right. All right. Final question. Is there going to be riots one way or another in Florida, regardless of how this turns out? If it comes down on Zimmerman's side, are we going to see
Zimmerman
a racial riot? If it comes down on Martin's side, are we going to see some sort of protest because of the people who are like, hey, the guy was doing his job, he was, you know, for Second Amendment rights, the whole nine yards?
No, because normally the way these things break down is the victim usually gets the more emotional people. So if it doesn't go Trayvon...
And justifiably, by the way.
Yeah, but if it doesn't go Trayvon Martin's way, I would expect to see some problems and some protests. If it goes against Zimmerman, I think a lot of people... There'll be people who will be disappointed, but they're not going to take to the streets.
All right. Good conversation. Judah Lariam, we gave the people extra show today again. You think this is going to be one of the better ones again?
Well, once we chop up your filthy language, I think.
Hello, Akbar.
Hello, Akbar. Sergeant Slaughter.
All right. On that note, let's wrap this up by saying thank you for joining us once again on the White Riot Show. You can always find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player.fm, YouTube, and WhiteRiotShow.com. Until next week, this is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judah Lariam.
Peace.
Join us every week at www.whiteriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judah Lariam. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. And I'm not wearing any pants.